Welcome back to another episode of the Testudo Talk podcast, and we've got a packed episode for you all today. We've got men's basketball talk, football talk. We're going to be previewing the Friday night basketball game at Villanova, and then we're going to be transitioning into the football preview for the game against Michigan on Saturday. I'm Emmett Siegel. I'm alongside Andrew Chodas, as always, and we're going to start with some basketball talk. For anyone that's interested in listening to the football portion of the episode and maybe wants to skip over basketball, you can hit the timestamps in the description and it'll lead you right there. But let's start with some basketball talk. We haven't really had an opportunity to fully recap what happened in Asheville to the men's basketball team. It was not a pretty weekend. They went 0-2. They lost to Davidson and UAB, two teams that they were favored to beat, finished last in the tournament. They were the only team not to win a game. What we saw was certainly not encouraging, but it is early in the season, and I think that we have to keep that in mind. Andrew, I know you've been saying that. What were your biggest takeaways from what you saw over the weekend?
I think the biggest takeaway, specifically to the performance, what I think would be their lack of offensive rhythm, their inability to shoot the basketball, obviously very concerning early in the season. These were things that we talked about in the offseason. You know, we thought there would be a major lapse in the team's ability to shoot the three-point ball, but to make under 10 in the entire tournament and to take almost 40 is something that you can't do when you're not able to shoot the ball. I think Willard's obviously, he's still working out a lot of stuff with the team. I think rotational-wise, we saw Jordan Girano get a shot at the three in the first game, Noah Batchelor get a shot at small forward in the second game. Both didn't really work out for the two of them in starting roles. So a lot to work past, a lot to work forward to. Obviously, it's disappointing, but it's always better, you know, to have your worst in the beginning of the season, right? Because you can only learn and get better from there. I know Willard himself, you know, voiced his displeasure over kind of how this early season worked out the schedule. I know that this Asheville tournament was something that was booked under Mark Turgeon, but in general, it's a tournament where you're expected to win. You have to put out better performances than you did. But with that said, you lose by one shot in both games and you played really poorly. So I guess that's a positive if you want to look at it that way.
Yeah, it's really early in the season and, you know, only three games in. We don't want to rush to conclusions, obviously, because there's so much to be done. And you even saw what happened last year, you know, with this team. They started hot and then they kind of had a lull in the middle of the season where everyone kind of jumped ship and then they got it back towards the end of the year. So, you know, it's a long season. You know, this season will go all the way into March. It's a marathon, not a sprint, but this was certainly not an encouraging start to the season. The Mount St. Mary's win was kind of what it was. It wasn't overly impressive, but you get a win against a lower level opponent. Then obviously the Davidson game, you had some defensive breakdowns and weren't able to shoot the ball at all. And same thing goes for UAB. Lots of turnovers in that game. A lot of self-inflicted wounds. Going back to what you said about the three-point shooting, that's probably the number one thing that I would be concerned about long-term. Kevin Willard said today in his press conference that he thinks the team will be a little bit better than it showed. Doesn't necessarily think that they're going to be a great three-point shooting team. I think we can all agree on that just because there aren't a plethora of great three-point shooters on this roster, at least proven ones. But I expect the three-point shooting to get marginally better, maybe not super improved. They probably should start taking less threes, but like we saw last year, they're kind of just going to keep taking them regardless of if they're going in or not. That's kind of seems to be what Kevin Willard's letting his team do. So we'll see how that all pans out, but you got a big opportunity on Friday. This is coming out Friday morning. So tonight against Villanova, road game, first true road game of the season, tough team that I believe is still in the AP poll, will be dropping out of the AP poll after losing to Penn, but two programs kind of seemingly in a similar-ish spot with second-year coaches looking to, you know, make their mark in year two. Obviously, Kevin Willard had a better year one than Kyle Neptune did, but yeah, it seems like it should be a good matchup with a lot of really interesting storylines.
Yeah, for sure. And I just want to just go back and just add a little quick thing because I know a lot of fans obviously think, oh my God, this is season's over. It's terrible. We just on social media and stuff. I mean, the amount of upsets we've seen in college basketball in the early portion of the season have been pretty ridiculous so far to this point. And I think it has to be, you have to consider that in college basketball, especially the parity. There's so many teams lose early and obviously extremely disappointing for Maryland, but the season is so long. You literally have over 25 games left to work through your kinks. But moving on specifically to Villanova, very interested to see how Maryland comes out after obviously two straight disappointing losses. I'm really intrigued to see what Willard does with his lineup. Going back to what we mentioned with him experimenting with the small forward position, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw Jamie Kaiser crack the starting lineup. I know he hasn't looked so impressive defensively, and I have a feeling that's why Willard has opted to have him come off the bench and maybe provide a shooting spark. But just based on how Geronimo and Batchelor both looked in a starting role, was really, really poor. Batchelor was, to be kind, horrific in his role against UAB. So, and again, we saw the rotation itself kind of shorten. We saw the bench shorten a little bit. In the first game, we saw 10 players come in the first few minutes. That went down, a player against Davidson, and then against UAB, they basically rolled with 6-7 players the entire game. So I'm really intrigued to see if Willard keeps on experimenting with that, or if he kind of has a solidified 7-man rotation.
I expect to see a little bit of a longer rotation until maybe we get a little bit farther into the season, but certainly still a lot of room for experimentation, especially, like you said, at that forward position. It seems like the guard rotation is somewhat set. Jameer Young and Deshaun Harris-Smith are pretty much going to start every game this year, and Jahari Long will probably be the first guard off the bench pretty much every game this year. But yeah, like you said, at that forward position, that seems to be kind of the question mark, because you got Dante Scott and Julian Reese also starting in that lineup, which are, they're going to start in that lineup pretty much the entire year, probably the entire year, barring injury or something. So, whether it's Batchelor, whether it's Geronimo, whether it's Kaiser, whoever it is, you're definitely going to need to see some improved minutes out of them. It's going to be interesting to see maybe how the substitutions work, maybe some other bench guys play different minutes. I know Willard has said over and over again how he's blaming himself for some of the turnovers and stuff because guys weren't playing together over the summer. It's a little bit weird that he spent the whole summer talking about how the Italy trip brought the team together, and then now here we are a week into the season and he's saying that they need more time to gel because they've only been playing for so long. I know there were some injuries, but it's still a little bit interesting to hear that. But this game has no shortage of storylines for a game this early in the season. I think we should start by talking about Hakeem Hart, who now plays for Villanova. Obviously, Maryland fans are very used to him in a Maryland uniform. He was there for 4 years, graduated from Maryland. But then he went home, Philly guy, going back to Villanova in the transfer portal for his last year of college basketball. It's going to be really interesting to see what he does. And I know Kevin Willard had a funny comment today where he's like, I'm not looking forward to playing Hakeem Hart, even though I love the guy, just because he's a great player and he's, not playing maybe as much as you thought he was going so far, but still a really dynamic player on a pretty good Villanova team.
Well, I was thinking about this kind of throughout the week of just how much more comfortable I would feel about this Maryland team if Hakeem Hart was still on it. Obviously a dynamic scorer, something that the Terps are desperately missing right now. Kyle Neptune maybe doesn't agree with that sentiment that Hakeem Hart can provide a lot. Obviously he hasn't seen a ton of minutes, obviously, a much lesser role than was widely expected of him. But yeah, absolutely. Hakeem Hart, obviously a really important asset to the team last year. Maryland has really struggled to kind of fill his shoes so far early on in the season, but it should be really interesting to see when he comes on the floor and maybe just the emotions that we see out of him.
Yeah, and also some other interesting stuff. Dante Scott's also from Philly. He said the last time he played Hakeem Hart was in high school, so that's certainly interesting. And then Jameer Young, we've talked about the DeMatha thing a couple times, but Justin Moore, starter, maybe Villanova's best overall player, was his teammate at DeMatha and longtime friend. So it's interesting to see these two programs that haven't played a ton recently, but share a lot of similar, recruiting tactics. And, especially when Jay Wright was there, he was all in the DMV, recruiting a lot of top players on some of those best teams. It would definitely be an interesting game. What are you expecting to see from Maryland when they come out in the pavilion? We'll be there. And then we'll be making the short trip right back to Maryland for the football game on Saturday. But speaking about basketball, what are you expecting to see? Are you expecting to see them maybe play a little bit better than they did in Asheville, or are you maybe expecting to see a similar performance?
I'm expecting to see a lot of Julian Reese and a lot less threes. Just based on how much Willard was saying, even after the Mount St. Mary's game, we're going to run our offense through Julian Reese. Kind of did that against Davidson. UAB got to get into the foul trouble, weren't really able to do that. and then they start taking over 23s or close to 23s. Doesn't work out at all. It leads to a bunch of easy possessions in transition for the opposition. So I'm expecting a lot of play down low for the Terps. I'm going to expect them to pound it inside. A lot less three-point shooting, I would think, but they kept on shooting the ball when they're missing it in Asheville. So not exactly sure, but I think number one would be, I think we came to the season thinking, you know, defensively, this team is sound, right? You know, they're going to have a lot of defensive energy, a lot of great defensive effort. And there were just so many lapses against UAB and Davidson where just open men, there are so many open shooters beyond the arc. Obviously, some crucial plays late in the game where Dante Scott on both games missed assignments, gave up wide open shots late in the game. So I would expect more crispness on the defensive end. And if there isn't, I would be a lot more concerned than I am now.
Well, we will see if they do actually take fewer threes. I know that last year covering the team, we didn't really see much of a drop off even when the threes weren't falling. It was kind of a similar problem, although they had, you know, guys like Don Carey that were brought in for shooting and maybe just struggling. This year doesn't feel like they have a ton of guys just like ready to break out, but we will definitely see. And we should also talk a little bit about Villanova's team. Obviously, Villanova, the name brand, kind of, you know, represents itself. Two national championships under Jay Wright, really, really good program. Kyle Neptune hasn't necessarily gotten off to the best start there, but I know that it's still early, like we said. Justin Moore, we mentioned him, the DeMatha connection. He's the best player on this team, I think, hands down. But a really, really senior-laden team, which is the number one thing that sticks out when you look at the roster. A really talented group, kind of fits in that Villanova Jay Wright vibe where you felt like they were just really tuned up and really experienced every year. So, yeah, it should certainly be a tough matchup for a Maryland team that's still kind of getting to know itself, and a lot of the players bringing in transfers, bringing in freshmen, new guys coming in, guys leaving, like we mentioned, Hakeem Hart. It would be an interesting matchup between one team kind of trying to gel with itself and then another team that has a lot of experienced players kind of all coming together at Villanova.
Yeah, for sure. And I know you mentioned, obviously, Justin Moore, Villanova kind of starts and ends with him. Missed a lot of last season with injury, but his skill is undeniable. He's averaging 18.7 points per game through three games. Villanova as a whole, their offense was lights out in their first two wins, which, again, the opponents weren't so great, American and Lemoyne. But like you mentioned, a really experienced team. They know how to win. They obviously a tough season last year where they went 500, so they know how to face adversity. So obviously a team, even though they're coming off a loss to Penn, you obviously can't look them over. They are ranked 21 in the preseason poll for a good reason. You know, between Justin Moore, Eric Dixon also in the front court obviously helps them a lot. Another really experienced guy. So Villanova, a really deep, a really experienced team, and definitely a dangerous one.
And also, even though Maryland hasn't necessarily been in the Big Ten for all too long and hasn't necessarily participated in this event too much, worth noting that this is probably the last year of the Gavitt Games. You know, scheduling conflicts, conference expansion, all the schedules changing has kind of doomed the league to a certain extent. The Big Ten is going to have 18 teams. The Big East has, I think, 11. So definitely enjoy this one while you have it. So let's talk about what we expect from this game score wise. Andrew, can you give a score prediction for this game? You think what are you expecting to see on Friday?
I think it's going to be a really competitive and really close game. I think Maryland's going to bounce back after having a week off. I think they learned a lot about themselves in Asheville. I think they're going to struggle offensively again, though. I do think they are. I think ultimately it comes down to the fourth quarter. I think Villanova prevails just by a bit in the end. I'm going to say 71-64.
Okay. Worth also noting that Maryland refused to win road games last year.
That is true. I forgot. Yeah, I forgot about that.
This will be an interesting, maybe early look at if that trend will change this year. I also think Villanova wins this game mostly just because they're at home. I give them a slight edge there, but I do think it will be competitive. Maybe a little bit lower scoring than you said. I'll go 66-61 Villanova. So we both have Maryland starting 1-3 on the season, which obviously not optimal at all, especially when you look at the way the schedule was shaping up.
I do want to add, I like we said, I think they're going to start 1-3. But I think we'll look at this in a month, and I think they'll be like 9-4, 10-3. I'm really not concerned about this group, which I know is weird for me, the Maryland Athletic pessimist.
Well, a little bit of trivia time here for anyone that's listening in for you. Can you name the last time that Maryland started a season 1-3?
COVID year? Or 2021 Danny Manning? Well, Turgeon was 5 mid-season.
2000, 2001. They made the Final Four. So, I mean, different schedule.
What are you starting here, Evan? What are you starting here?
What I'm saying is there's no reason to sound the alarms and to jump ship, even if they do start 1-3. You know, it's a long, long season, so we don't want to jump to conclusions. I think I'm kind of I'm in your boat here. I think that no matter what happens in this game, as long as you don't have any injuries, as long as you don't put up a complete stinker of a performance, you know, it's a tough game early in the season, and it's a long season, so we're definitely going to be taking our time with the overreactions, even though it's more fun just to lose our minds every time, you know, something goes wrong. I think, you know, we're going to try and stay level-headed.
Hey, Michigan State's also 1-2.
Hey, yeah, I don't know. James Madison's a much better loss than the two that
James Madison's a wagon in all sports. What an athletic program! What an athletic program!
Outstanding.
The NCAA hates them though. But move on.
Well, speaking of football, you want to jump into the football preview portion of this episode?
Sure. Maryland takes on Michigan Saturday at noon. Michigan 10-0. They've won 26 straight regular season games. They've won the last 7 games against Maryland. Michigan, I'm just gonna hype them up here. Michigan has outscored their opponents 39-7.5 this season. That doesn't even sound real coming off my tongue, but yeah, obviously a ginormous yet far-fetched opportunity for Maryland here. They sit at 6-4. They already clinched bowl eligibility. They did that with a victory against Nebraska last weekend, but Michigan right now, without head coach Jim Harbaugh, which we'll go a little bit more into, but they're looking like one of the best teams in the country right now, and Maryland will have their hands full on the big noon kickoff.
Yeah, well, I hate to break the news to Jim Harbaugh, but unfortunately, Maryland is America's team this week. Everybody is, you know, talking about Michigan for all the wrong reasons, with the sign stealing, with the scandal, with Harbaugh being suspended, but like you said, you listed off all the numbers, they speak for themselves. This is maybe the most dominant team in the country so far. I don't know if we can say best, but they're in that upper echelon right there. You know, they're going to have a chance to be the number one team in the college football playoff if they were to win out. I mean, they're absolutely dominant. And they've backed up everything that they said during this, you know, beginning of the season with all the hype, and they've not dropped off at all. Despite all the noise around them, they've just continued to roll. Really impressive win against Penn State. We know how good Penn State can be. We saw what they were able to do to Maryland, just completely dismantling them. And Michigan kind of commanded that game from start to finish, ran the ball something like 35 straight times. They were just controlling the line of scrimmage against a really, really, really good Penn State defensive front. This is maybe Maryland's toughest matchup of the season. I know the Ohio State game was on the road, but Michigan is the class of the Big Ten, back-to-back Big Ten champions. Going to be a really, really tough game. But there's no doubt that with everything going on and just Michigan and what people think of Michigan, the world will definitely be rooting for Maryland. The question is just whether or not that's enough.
Yeah, it's just Michigan. They've had zero on the field. They've had zero problems with any of their games this season. Zero. If you look at their Big Ten slate against Rutgers, 31-7, Nebraska, 45-7, Minnesota, 52-10, Indiana, 52-7. Michigan State 49-0, Michigan Purdue 41-13, Penn State 24-15. In my opinion, the only way Maryland has a chance of keeping this somewhat close is if Michigan goes into this game, and I doubt they're going to do this. I doubt they're going to be. I assume they're going to be very well prepared, even though they're under interim coach Sharon Moore. Next week is the game. It's going to be, you know, number 3 versus number 2 in the country, most likely. The winner will have an automatic bid to the college football playoff. But Michigan, they are unbelievable. J.J. McCarthy is having a Heisman campaign. He's thrown 18 touchdowns, only has 3 interceptions. He doesn't make mistakes. He's second in the nation in a QBR of almost 93. It just seems like Michigan cannot do any wrong this season. Obviously, they have a two-headed monster at running back with Blake Corman, Donovan Edwards. I'm running out of breath speaking of all the good things Michigan has. They're averaging close to 200 rushing yards per game. The defense, like we said, is allowing just over 7 points per game. In Big Ten play, they're allowing under 10 points per game. Oof.
I think we got the point. I think Michigan certified really, really, really good at football this year. They're about 20 point favorites last I checked over Maryland. Not surprising at all. I think a lot of people are expecting this game not even to be close. We got the big noon kickoff show coming to College Park, which is interesting. We'll see how many, you know, people turn out for that. But it certainly seems like all the momentum being on Michigan's side, just with how dominant they've been. You know, Maryland getting that sixth win felt like a little bit of an accomplishment. Michigan had no problem at all getting to that point. Like you said, Blake Corum and Donovan Edwards, even though Edwards hasn't been quite as dominant maybe, or at least as dynamic as he was last year, that's still a lethal duo at the running back position, especially with Corum. And we know what he did to Maryland last year. I think he ran for over 200 yards, had a couple fourth down touchdowns, just backbreakers. You mentioned J.J. McCarthy. He's kind of the star of the show because he's a starting quarterback, super, super talented. Numbers have been pretty good this year. Kept the ball out of harm's way for the most part. Roman Wilson, I believe, is his top target. But you got all sorts of targets over the field. Great tight end as well. Loveland, I believe, is his name. Really, really talented team. Maryland is going to have to pull out all the stops to win this game. This would be, you know, one of those program-altering wins was the way it was said, even by Mike Locksley, even by the players. What's at stake this weekend? If Maryland is going to win this game, what do you think the path to that is?
Well, I'll preface this by I don't think there is any path, but if they were to somehow pull this off, they would. I think Talia Tagovailoa needs to have the game of a lifetime. He needs to have the best game of his career, his final game in Siku Stadium. And then Maryland needs to limit the turnovers. They've had so many backbreaking turnovers that they had three against Nebraska. You go against such a stout defense, and if you give them an inch there, they're going to take a mile. And I think it's playing clean football, which is so hard to do against the Michigan defense. And then you need Talia to go out there and absolutely ball and have the greatest game of his life in front of a national audience.
Yeah, well, I think last week we can put in the rear view the opposite of clean football. Correct. That will not fly at all against the team. You play like you did against Nebraska, against Michigan, and you're going to get run out of your own stadium. Yeah, I think, like you said, Talia needs to have an absolutely outstanding game. He needs to have the best game of his career if Maryland's going to win this one. It is an interesting point that you brought up about the potential look-ahead spot. You know, not necessarily with Michigan, but with Ohio State. We've seen that twice since Maryland joined the Big Ten, where they hosted Ohio State, and those games were down to the wire the week before the Michigan game. I've always kind of gotten the sense that Ohio State is a little bit more like ridiculous with their Michigan prep than maybe Michigan is. Feels like they're a little bit better at taking it one game at a time. But regardless, this is a massive uphill battle. I think the turnovers, like you mentioned, on the defensive end are going to be huge for Maryland. You need to force turnovers against a team that's really, really hard to turn over if you're going to win this game. Everybody needs to be tuned up. This is one of those games where you need kind of a perfect performance if you're Maryland to win this game, maybe even just to hang around in it. That's how dominant Michigan has been. But like we've seen in some, you know, we saw in the Ohio State game, we saw for a moment in the Penn State game, even though it unraveled really, really quickly. And as we've seen last year, you know, in the Maryland-Michigan game, you know, this team is capable of hanging around with some of the big boys in this conference, even if they haven't necessarily gotten that big win yet. We talk about it every week, still no ranked wins against Big Ten opponents since joining the conference. If this is going to be the week, you need to put on display what you did at Ohio State for three quarters. You need to do that for four quarters, maybe even more against Michigan, just knowing how much in a groove they're in and how hard they are to stop. Maryland needs to play a perfect game. I don't think anyone's necessarily expecting them to play a perfect game because they haven't yet. And I don't think any team has, but that's probably what it's going to take. This is probably their biggest test of the season.
Yeah, and no, I mean, you mentioned obviously Maryland played Michigan pretty close last year. They ended up losing by only one possession. But just the way Michigan is rolling this year, they're just dismantling all their opponents, especially in conference play. It's just, I don't think an uphill battle even does it justice.
Yeah, and also the last home game of the season, It's going to be a lot of Michigan fans there. You know, we know how it plays out.
Well, and the other thing, which you can kind of laugh at, but it really is something, is that the Maryland University did announce that Thanksgiving break was extended. So there might be a fair amount of students that will be leaving to go home before the game. Maryland student section has been pretty good throughout the season, but I think there is a chance that it's not as prolific only because of that decision for this game.
Yeah, I mean, but I think we can agree, no matter what it is, Maryland has never won a game because of its intimidating.
Yeah, no, it's not affecting the outcome. I'm just talking about the atmosphere of the last home game. That's all.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, especially with the, I joke about the Big Noon kickoff show and all that, but there is a little bit of intrigue about that stuff. But like you said, with the Thanksgiving break being extended, yes, and everything, you know, anecdotally as a student, I can say that there's certainly a lot of my friends are questioning whether they even want to go to the game, just because of how the recent home games have gone. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see that. It'll be interesting to see, you know, what the national perspective is on Maryland. We're hoping to, you know, maybe see a little bit more when that show comes on the air and when we hear people talking about it. But it is always interesting when we're in this, you know, Maryland bubble, kind of analyzing everything week by week, what people think of Maryland. I think that people still have maybe a little bit of a higher expectation than we do, just because they haven't necessarily been privy to the week in, week out mistakes. And, you know, they see the quarterback with the Tagovailoa last name and everything. But yeah, it's going to be a tough, tough challenge. And with that noon slate, you're kind of kicking off the first big game, quote unquote, of the day. If you get run out of your own building, like it does not reflect well at all. So it's a huge opportunity for the program to kind of, once again, we talk about this every week when they play Ohio State, Michigan, or Penn State, a real opportunity to kind of put yourself on the map and get that signature win. And then all of a sudden this season that has tumbled a little bit into a bit of a disappointment, all of a sudden 8 wins is back on the table. You got a win over a top 5 team, and all of a sudden you start looking at the season a lot differently. That's how much this win could possibly mean if they were to pull off the monumental upset of a lifetime.
Yeah, and again, I mean, we go back to this, but Maryland should, I mean, well, they lost the games and they deservedly did, but they probably should be 8-2 right now. The games against Illinois and Northwestern, that's tough, backbreaking losses. I mean, it's tough for Maryland this season. Just the outlook and perspective on the season is just so much different now. And after this game, it's likely that they'll be 6-5, and then a really tough contest against Rutgers to close the season. Either way, it's week by week. You go against one of the best opponents in the country this week, and you take it at that.
Yeah, well, we both predicted Maryland basketball to lose at Villanova, although we expected them to keep it close. I don't think either of us are necessarily going to predict Maryland to keep it close this weekend, but what is your score prediction for Saturday?
Say this. I think Maryland basketball has a chance to be Villanova. Maryland football does not have a chance to be Michigan. And this is, and with the score I'm about to give, it is no disrespect to Mike Locksley or the Maryland football program.
I'm really worried if you're already doing disclaimers about you don't mean disrespect.
Okay. Michigan has outscored Big Ten opponents, including the Penn State game, by 42 points a game. With that said, 49-12.
12. How does Maryland get to 12? Is that 4 Jack House field goals?
Dude, his confidence is through the roof.
It should be after hitting the game winner. Great moment for him. So 49-12 is your number. Yeah, Michigan is going to win this game. Mostly, like, if Maryland wins this game, that would be mind-boggling. We were talking about it. You know, Maryland, you know, knowledge aside, covering the team, interacting with the fans and everything, all that aside and all the excitement that would bring, just Maryland winning this game would be the funniest thing to happen this season, just with everything that's gone over with Michigan. Like I said, everybody's going to be rooting for Maryland in this game. There's probably going to be a ton of people tuning in that haven't watched Maryland this year. So it'll be really interesting to see what people think of the team. Unfortunately, like you, I'm expecting Michigan to, you know, continue to roll, go into that Ohio State game undefeated. So I'm going to say Michigan wins 45-14. I think Maryland scores late. I don't think this game is really close for that long. I think Michigan, the way you saw that they ran the ball with such confidence against Penn State and the way that they were able to get those timely big plays against Maryland last year, I think there's a good chance that this game just gets out of hand really quickly and that Maryland falls behind early and just doesn't have a chance of breaking through that really, really good Michigan defense that has certainly a case as, you know, one of the best in the country.
Yeah, if Maryland wins this game, it's time to start collecting your non-perishable cans because the world is actually ending.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. But you know, we're hopeful that maybe we get a good game on Saturday. It's never fun when there's a blowout, regardless of who you're rooting for.
It's our last time covering a Maryland football home game, so we'll see.
Yeah, no one ever gives Senior Day recognition to the writers, do they?
They never do. They really should, honestly.
Well, we'll be back on probably Saturday after the game, recapping what we saw when Maryland plays Michigan. We'll also be talking about that basketball game. Like I said, we're going to be making that quick drive back to College Park, so I don't know if we'll be able to get an immediate instant reaction to that Villanova game, but we're going to try to hit on it as much as we can. And obviously, you can follow all of our coverage at TostudoTimes.com if you're interested in the written coverage. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Andrew, anything to say before we sign off?
I got nothing. Exciting week for Maryland sports, definitely.
Yeah, a lot of potential. Should be really interesting to see how everything plays out. We will see you on Saturday. Thank you all for listening.